VCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at vcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
Friends, we've got one packed program today, and we hope you'll stay tuned throughout the duration of it because we've got a lot of information to pass on. Did you know that there is a startling increase in the number of service members and veterans that are committing suicide? I mean, more than four times as many service members and veterans have died from suicide since the 9/11 attacks than have been killed in combat. And the number of suicides are outpacing those of the general population. What's going on? Also, there's a memo that's been filed with the judge asking him to issue a class-wide preliminary injunction in Navy SEAL 1 versus Austin to protect service members who are refusing to take the jab. There's much going on there. And is this issue connected with those who are committing suicide? And also today, breaking news from the U.S. Supreme Court as they issued a 9-0 opinion on a case that protects religious freedom. Joining us, we welcome attorney Matt Stever, founder and chairman of Liberty Counsel. He is a constitutional attorney, hundreds of published legal opinions, authored a number of scholarly law review publications and numerous books. He has filed briefs and argued in many federal and state courts before the U.S. Supreme Court, of which today, celebrating a victory at the court in a 9-0 vote. Matt, it looks like we lost Matt there, so we're going to get to Matt Stever here just momentarily. Truly a landmark case before the U.S. Supreme Court, as it happened today, and a remarkable feat that took place before the court, getting 9-0. And Matt, are you with us?
Yes, I'm here. Good to be with you.
Great. Jim. Good to be with you as well. And Matt, we want to begin by shouting out praise the Lord for a unanimous opinion released today by the U.S. Supreme Court in a case you represented of Shurtleff versus City of Boston. Tell us what took place.
Yes, this is a real praise to the Lord. 9-0. Those kinds of decisions are very, very rare. And to have it in this kind of a case with regards to religious speech and viewpoint censorship is even more rare. So it's a great decision. 9-0, unanimous. Sends a big message, Jim, to not only Boston, but all these other governments around the country that they need to stop censoring religious viewpoints. This case began back in 2017. For 12 years before 2017, Boston had opened up a forum on its flagpoles, as well as on its plaza, where you could have different events. And then you could also temporarily raise a flag consistent with your event that you were having at the base of the flagpole. And that went on for 12 years, and they had 284 applications for the flagpole for private flags. Not a single one was censored until Camp Constitution's flag. And it wasn't the flag itself, interestingly. It was the word Christian on the application. So they referred to it on the application as a Christian flag, because that's what it is.
Mm-hmm.
And it was that word Christian that caused the censorship. The amazing thing is they told Hal Shurtleff, the founder of Camp Constitution, they told him if you called it anything else but Christian, we would allow it. So call it the Camp Constitution flag. Refile your application. Don't call it Christian flag. It's not the flag itself. It's the word Christian. It's what you think of the flag, how you perceive it. If you perceive it as a Christian flag, well, we're going to censor it. It's not welcome in this public forum, the cradle of liberty, Boston. And so Hal would not rename it and falsify it and run from the fact that it's a Christian flag, so they censored it. So we filed suit. We lost unexpectedly in the lower court, then again at the Court of Appeals, went back to the lower court, lost again at the Court of Appeals, and said, oh, my goodness, this is just nonsense. And so we went to the Supreme Court. The court agreed to take the case, and today we got a unanimous 9-0 decision. Amazing. So it really, I think, shows how bad the lower court decision is to mess up that badly. But it really underscores it's not just Boston, it's not just the lower courts. There is this tendency, Jim, and that is one of the issues that we brought up in the case, of hostility toward religious viewpoints.
Mm-hmm.
In this censorship because it's religion. Everything is open for business, but if you are a religious speaker, you want to you have a communication on the same subject matter from a religious viewpoint, you're not welcome. And the Supreme Court soundly rejected that today.
You know, Matt, Justice Gorsuch asked the question, how did the city get it so wrong? I mean, I guess it's not just the city, but even how could the lower courts get this so wrong?
Yeah.
I mean, it seemed to be such an obvious case, I mean, to get a 9-0 ruling and all of that, but a legitimate question, how could they get this so wrong?
Yeah, and he answered it because of this false notion of the so-called Lemon Test on the Establishment Clause that the court developed back in 1971. And he said, and he actually raised this question during the oral argument as well. And he said, it's really the Establishment Clause, and the court ought to really put a nail in that coffin forever. And he says it again in his concurring opinion, that it's this 1971 decision called Lemon versus Kurtzman that the Supreme Court has kind of substituted for the First Amendment Establishment Clause, the so-called church-state provision, if you will, that some people refer to it with regards to. And he said, that's wrong, and it should be buried forever. He also says this, very interesting. He says that 1971 era is gone forever.
Hmm.
He said, no longer at that time will we continue, as the court was doing back then, to just simply reinterpret the Constitution. That era is gone forever. Well, you know what? That era is 1971 for Lemon. It's 1972 for this contraception decision that ultimately made the basis for the 1973 Roe versus Wade decision. So I don't know if that's a portent of good things to come on the abortion case with regards to Dobbs, but I think what it clearly shows is that the court now is tending more away from, as a whole, judicial activism.
Yeah, indeed. And as you stated, Matt, this is so much more significant than a flag.
It's so much more significant than a flag. Yeah, the flag is what caused the issue to be here, but it was really the word Christian, because the flag itself, they said, was not a problem. It was the word Christian. So it's anything where you want to be in the public square, where other people are allowed to participate and have their different viewpoints, all different cacophony of voices. But you're a Christian, you have a Christian viewpoint, you want to say something from a Christian perspective on this issue, sorry, you're not welcome here. And that is the issue, and that's why this case goes so much farther than just a Christian flag.
Well, friends, Matt Staver with us today, and Matt argued before the U.S. Supreme Court and just came away with a 9-0 victory. I mean, just unheard of with this court. And, Matt, did you ever imagine Justice Breyer would be giving a majority opinion for one of your cases?
No. In fact, Jim, I told Anita today, my wife, I said, you know, I never thought in a million years that we would get an opinion written by Justice Breyer in favor of our case, any case.
Mm-hmm.
And here we have it, a 9-0 decision, actually written by Justice Breyer. So
wow.
It's quite an interesting scenario.
Well, Matt, before we talk about military as well, I know last week another important religious liberty case heard before the court, Kennedy versus Bremerton School District, pertaining to Coach Joe Kennedy. I know this is another case you've got your eyes on.
Yes, we filed an amicus brief in that case as well, and something similar happened there where they said, well, no, this is not Joe Kennedy's private speech. It's the government speech, and so they're going to censor it because it's religious. That's what they did in Boston, and so you have some commonality between these two. So I think this case today bodes well for the Coach Kennedy case. I think it won't be a 9-0 decision in the Coach Kennedy case, but I suspect we ultimately will have a majority. But here you have it. A coach, after the game, goes to the 50-yard line, and he kneels down for a silent prayer. Now, if someone got injured on the playing field and that same coach kneeled down on the sideline or on the football gridiron, would they censor it because, you know, they find out that he's actually praying to God, but not censor it because he's not praying to God, he's just hoping that the player is not hurt? You know, do they get into the individual private thinking of an individual and say, well, if it's religious thinking, then it's banned. If it's secular thinking, it's okay. But that's the kind of hostility that I was talking about.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what about, you know, kneeling down on the sideline? That means if they can censor Coach Kennedy from going to the middle of the field after the game and kneeling down with a silent message, they could censor anyone even the players, for example, but certainly because they have the school jersey on, they could censor them because they say, well, I think you might be praying. Now, if you're protesting the flag, that's okay. But if you're praying to God, that's not good. And so that's the problem with
and how ironic with the pledge to the flag, one nation under God. I mean, it just,
Yeah, and then they take out, you know, the word under God there in the flag. So, but I think that's really the issue. And the interesting thing, Jim, is the entity that defended the school really says it all. It's the Americans United for Separation of Church and State. And they convinced the school to dig their heels in, and they're the ones who took this case up to the defense of the school and were the opposite attorneys on this case before the high court. So that really says everything. It says everything about the school as well, that they would have the Americans United for Separation of Church and State as their attorneys.
So I understand, Matt, here just one more issue on this case, and that is the coach just had this commitment, whether I win or lose, I'm going to go out there, I'm going to take a knee and offer a prayer. And he did that solo by himself, and then other teammates wanted to join him in doing so.
Right. But the teammates, you know, weren't forced to do it.
Right.
Anyone can come in and participate. In fact, even teammates from the other side of the competition would come to him after the game, and they would. But he didn't, like, ask them. He didn't invite them. He didn't force them. He didn't punish the teammates on his team and give them, you know, a better position because they came up and prayed, or a worse position if they didn't. And certainly he would have no control over the people that would come from the other team. The fact is, that doesn't transform this into government speech. That's still private speech, and it's after the game is over. And clearly anyone who's watching this, they know, oh, that's not the school speaking.
Mm-hmm.
That's Coach Kennedy. And, yeah, it's nice to see other people coming to visit. And in fact, how this actually came about is it went on for like 7 or 8 years with no problem. And after one game, an opposing coach saw what was going on, and he actually wrote a note to the school thanking them for allowing that to happen, thanking them, not complaining, but said, this is just really nice that you do this. And so then this very liberal school district got involved and said, oh, we can't have that. We've got to stop it. So they told him to stop. And when he stopped the following week, he just started to think about it. He says, you know what? This is wrong. This is disobedience to God. And it's just wrong. It's unconstitutional. So he did it three more times, and they terminated him.
Right. Well, it's worked its way up to the U.S. Supreme Court, and just last week they heard this case now, Kennedy versus Bremerton School District. Liberty Counsel filed an amicus brief in this, and folks, you can be praying for the United States Supreme Court as that decision is yet to be made. They likely have had a conference regarding it and assigned who is writing opinions on this, but be praying for the justices on this issue, as is the cases pertaining to abortion out of Mississippi and also really Texas heartbeat legislation there as well. We're going to take a quick break, and when we come back here with Attorney Matt Staver, we're going to delve into this alarming, startling information here about the number of service members and veterans committing suicide. What is the cause for all of this? And what about the shot mandates that have been coming forth from the Commander-in-Chief? Well, Liberty Counsel is representing members of the military in Navy SEAL 1 versus Austin. More information after the break. Stay with us. You're listening to Crosstalk.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, president, author, and creation seminar speaker with the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, was the Ark big enough to carry all the animals that needed to be on board?
Most assuredly it was, Chris. The Ark was even bigger than it needed to be. Carefully estimating how many different kinds of animals there were before the flood and the average size, we see that the Ark was more than sufficient for the task. In fact, it probably could have carried many more animals. I suspect that it also could have carried many more humans, too. But they had all rejected God's offer to repent and get on board. They died in the flood. But there was room on board. Chris, we don't know all the details about the flood, but those that we do know fit very nicely into the Back to Genesis truth of creation and the flood.
To learn more about creation, get our free DVD called That's a Fact. Visit our web store at icr.org/store and use the promo code FACT at the checkout when ordering your That's a Fact DVD.
This is Crosstalk on VCY America. Constitutional Attorney Matt Staver with us today from Liberty Counsel. And thank you for your prayers for Matt as he argued before the U.S. Supreme Court in Shurtleff versus City of Boston. He interviewed here on Crosstalk leading up to and in the aftermath of that case. And certainly asked many people to be praying. And God did hear, God did answer in that opinion from the court 9-0 this morning in favor of Liberty Counsel. Well, recently, Liberty Counsel issued a press release about some very startling numbers about the number of service members and veterans that are dying from suicide, the rate more than four times in those dying from combat. Matt, tell us what's going on.
Yeah, this is startling, Jim. This is a regular study by Brown University. They just released it on June 20. They released it last year, but they release it periodically. But they found an estimated 30,177 active duty personnel and veterans who have served in the military since 9/11 have died by suicide. Compare that to 7,057 killed in combat during those same 20 years post 9/11. So that is four times more in suicide. Then when you look at 2020, you have a dramatic increase in suicides from the previous time frame. And that is actually about 16% or so increase over the previous number of suicides. 2021, we're still waiting on some of those reports, but there's some recent reports that just came out on Friday. And it looks like 2021 is also one of those terrible years as well. Not only from, and I think here's what you had from 2020. You had, in addition to the suicides in the military, you had in 2020 the lockdowns, the restrictions, all of the mandates that were coming down on individuals. Remember, there were some people that were even jumping off of ships because they couldn't get off the ships. Just nonsensical kind of restrictions that increased suicides by 16% in 2020. But if you look at 2021, suicides, I think, are increasing there because of the mandates. And we've seen it personally with regards to individuals that we are aware of from our plaintiffs and from the many, many military men and women that communicate with us. They're telling us about suicides. And, in fact, Jim, just last week, less than a week ago, it was on a Tuesday, 3 minutes before 5 o'clock, our phones typically transition over into a voicemail at 5 o'clock. We're still working, but it goes into voicemail. 3 minutes before it was going to go into voicemail, a distraught member of the military called and got connected with one of our people that work with the military in our office. That person was hard to understand because they were so broken up. They were on the verge of suicide, and they were actually in a medic's office under pressure, under direct order to get the COVID shot. This individual said that it was like he would be selling his soul to the devil to do this. This is how disturbing it was to him, and that he would be violating his religious convictions and sinning against God. But he was ordered to be there. So he was really distraught. Someone came in and saw him crying in the lobby and said, "You okay?" He said, "No." He explained to him what's going on. He says, "Man, you need to call Liberty Counsel." He gave him the phone number. And he called 3 minutes before 5. One of our staff members walked him off the edge. And thankfully today he's still alive, but it was looking very bad. We also got communication last week from someone who's stationed in Korea for 1 year, supposed to be there for 1 year, on a company, meaning that he's there by himself. His family's back in the States with his wife and his now 9-month-old child. So he's never even seen his child. And because he issued a religious exemption request, they have frozen him. So now he's there 16-plus months with no end in sight of being able to come home. His wife, he said, is just not able to handle the pressure, and she's on the verge of self-harm. But we've also seen a Marine take his life just a few days before Christmas last year. On February 22, another person in the services took their life, husband and wife. They were both in the services. Both of them faced the pressure. And we've been told by chaplains and others of this incredible abuse and pressure they're facing, and that it is increasing, and that will it continue to increase suicides in the military. So they're not doing anything about these suicides. In fact, they're exacerbating the suicides. More military members die each year from motorcycle accidents than from COVID. More individuals in the military died in 1 year, 2021, from the COVID shots than all the military members who have died since the beginning of COVID in 2020.
My. Matt, this story is not getting out. I mean, whether it be the suicide links from those who are just in such consternation regarding the mandated shot that's coming from the Biden administration, the story is not getting out as to the number of service members whose deaths have come about as a result of the shot itself. Where is the media? Where's the investigative journalist in all of this?
They're paid off, unfortunately, and that's not an exaggeration. They have been receiving $1 billion from the Department of Health and Human Services to print and promote only positive stories about the COVID shots and suppress anything that would question or be negative about the COVID shots. And that includes Fox News, it's ABC, NBC, all of the cable, all of the major media, New York Times, Washington Post, including Newsmax. They all received money. And this money comes with a stipulation. You're going to get millions of dollars. I think Fox got 40-some million dollars.
Wow.
So you get tens of millions of dollars for some of them. But the criteria, the string is, only print positive stories and suppress any negative stories. So this kind of story, Jim, you'll hear it here on VCY America. You'll hear it on the network. You'll hear it on your stations. But you're not going to hear it in the general mainstream media, and that's including Fox News, because they're getting paid. They have been paid.
Matt,
I mean, it's unbelievable
that
the government would pay the media to give a false narrative, propaganda.
Okay. And, you know, we were going to save this for later, but, you know, the Biden administration is going to start this Ministry of Truth. I mean, where is the truth in this? I mean, talking about misinformation, disinformation, outright deception that has taken place, I mean, this is a Class A exhibit.
Yeah, it's a Class A exhibit. I mean, and in fact, I've already seen them mention COVID. They say, well, there's disinformation, misinformation regarding the election. They want to launch it in time for the midterms. Thus, the timing of this, this governance board for disinformation under the Department of Homeland Security with law enforcement capability. So they launch it before the midterms to censor anything about the elections. They say that there's misinformation, disinformation about the election, misinformation, disinformation about COVID, and that's just the beginning. This coming from the same Biden administration that says a man can give birth to a child.
Yeah.
I mean, talk about misinformation and disinformation, but yet they think that that's true, or they want you to believe it, and if you don't toe that line, then you're the one. You're the one providing misinformation, disinformation, and then you know, the person that they put as the head of it, Jankovic, that individual, she wants to use the social media to reprogram people and change their behavior.
Matt Staver with us today from Liberty Council. Folks, this is outrageous what is taking place here. And our military is nothing but pawns. They're nothing but guinea pigs in this grand experiment. Matt, you have received more than 1,000 legal assistance requests from service members from all military branches. Many are seeking exemption of the shot based on religious accommodation. We know you've got a case right now before the courts. You've been with us before, Navy SEAL 1 versus Austin. Fill us in. What's happening with this?
Yes. Well, in fact, we just got a temporary restraining order on behalf of an Air Force cadet. Last week on Thursday, we were back in court to extend that into what's called a preliminary injunction, so it'll be effective throughout the entire disposition of the case. We've got another injunctions on behalf of a Marine captain, a commander of a Navy warship, and a lieutenant colonel in the United States Marines. So this person is an Air Force cadet, meaning this is his first year in the Air Force Academy. He is number one in his class of 1,070 cadets. He was given an award as the number one cadet just recently. So obviously he's been able to operate without the COVID shots. He's got a very strong Christian belief, particularly in the area of the sanctity of human life. He doesn't want to have anything associated with aborted fetal cells and all the shots are associated with that in their testing and or development or more. And he's aware of that. So he says no. His father was a graduate of the academy. His grandfather was in the army. His uncle and aunt also attended the academy. So he's got the academy and military in his DNA, if you will. But he says he's willing to give all that up. And they're wanting to force this brightest of the bright out of the military unless they inject this, you know, experimental drug that is known now to cause significant harm and it's not effective in preventing COVID into his body, and he won't do it. And so they're willing to punish him. But they're doing that to everyone, like the information I just shared earlier, no matter what their rank, whether it's the brightest of the bright of the next generation or it's people with 20, 25 years experience that can't be replaced. They're wanting to force them out. It makes no sense other than purging of the military of our religious Christian faithful men and women. That's the only logical conclusion, because scientifically and other logic just simply doesn't support this shot mandate. So we also asked the judge last Thursday to quickly extend these protections that we've gotten for these other individuals to all the members of all the classes of the military. And I shared with him exactly in more detail what I just shared with you and the listeners about these the call that came in 3 minutes before five. I said, this is our day. This is our week. This is what happens. And this is what's happening globally to the finest men and women in the military. This is the kind of abuse that they're under this Biden administration, and it needs to stop, and this court needs to stop it.
Matt, is the military even admitting people are dying from the shot? I mean, when you mentioned that there are more people dying from the shot than who had died from COVID, that's another story that's not getting out there. Is the military admitting this at all?
Well, you know, the military is not coming out with a press release and saying or stating that, yeah, there's more people that died. They will say how many people have died of COVID, and that number is 93. It's now 94 total. This is all the branches of the military since the beginning. But if you go to VAERS, the CDC's website, the VAERS, and you do a search for those people in the military, as of about a month ago, it was 127 that died in 2021 of the military. So that's 127. That number is higher now than it was a month ago.
And now
94 people who have died from COVID.
And yeah, and let me just mention this. I just went to the VAERS site right now, and there's been a 1.25 million adverse effects so far from those getting the shot, of which over 27,532 deaths have taken place from those who have gotten the shot.
Yeah, that's right. And so it's very clear. And obviously, even those numbers are very low. We know that there's a lot of things that are not being entered. We also know that the military is putting pressure on the doctors not to enter adverse reactions or events from the military into the COVID, into the VAERS database. We know that because the doctors are telling us this is the kind of pressure they're under right now. And this is what's happening to them. So we know in general that VAERS is far underreported. Historically, you know, less than 1% of actual. So we know the numbers are much, much higher than that. But even with the low numbers, even with the underreporting, there's still more people that died in 1 year than have died in 2.5 years from the COVID itself. So that's saying something. Moreover, it's not just deaths. It's people who are seriously injured. Like, for example, we brought in to testify a lieutenant colonel who got demyelinization now. He's a doctor.
Tell you what, let's pick up with that right after the break. Matt Staver with us from Liberty Counsel, their website, lc.org. Startling information here, folks, regarding our military members and veterans as well. The shocking number of suicides, the shocking number of those dying from the COVID jab itself. More in a minute here on Crosstalk. James 4:14 poses this thought. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. Have you ever stopped to consider where you will spend eternity? You may say, but I'm a good person. I care for my family. I feed the poor. I stand up for life and traditional values. While all of these things are good, they fall far short of God's standard. Every one of us has a sin issue that must be dealt with. Our sin separates us from God, and each of us deserves to be eternally removed from God in everlasting punishment. But out of God's great love, he sent his Son, Jesus Christ, to bear our sins, shed his blood, die on the cross, and rise again. He is the only way of salvation, and it's imperative for you to place your trust in him. If you're wrestling with this issue, we'd like to send you a complimentary leaflet, Where Will You Spend Eternity? To receive a copy, just ask for it when you call us at 1-800-729-9829. 800-729-9829. We'll be right back. program you're listening to is Crosstalk. Comes your way each weekday afternoon at the same time on the VCY American Network. Constitutional attorney Matt Staver is with us from LibertyCounselLC.org. And if you missed the first part of the program, you can go back and listen to it at CrosstalkAmerica.com. As Matt Staver, his team at Liberty Counsel just received a 9-0 favorable decision from the U.S. Supreme Court this very morning in Shurtleff versus City of Boston. You remember that was the group that was denied flying the Christian flag in Boston, and 9-0 religious liberty was upheld. We're talking right now about what's happening in the military, the shocking number of suicides taking place amongst our service members, and also what's happening with the shot mandates. We talked about the shocking number of deaths that have taken place from those who have received the shot. But also, Matt, just as that break was coming upon us, you were beginning to tell us about an Army surgeon who is suffering from an adverse effect as well. And that's another untold story, is the number of adverse effects going on within the military.
Yeah, so, you know, when we say that more people have died in 1 year from the shots in the military than have died in 2+ years from COVID, it doesn't take into consideration all the people that are also injured permanently. Like Lieutenant Colonel Pete Chambers, he is a flight surgeon in the United States Army, 39 years of experience. He wanted to reach 40 years, which would be 2023, but he's not going to get there, unfortunately, so he has to retire this month for medical reasons. He actually is a Purple Heart recipient. He was in Afghanistan. There was a howitzer missile that exploded under his Humvee, and it blew it up. The other people were killed right away. He tried to evacuate the driver, who was still alive, and he took a round from an AK-47 in his left arm that went through his arm. And fortunately, it stopped when it hit his rib cage, and he was saved. But he, you know, went back to the Army because he loves God and he loves the country. So that didn't stop him. So what a terrorist couldn't do, the COVID shot did. So he said he trusted the CDC and the FDA, and he trusted the military because they were telling him it's safe and effective, and they weren't telling him about the aborted fetal cell connection. They said, well, if you don't get the shot, you can't be deployed anymore. And so obviously he loves the Army, and he's right now, he was, at the time of the hearing, working on the southern border. And so he took the shot. He didn't do his own research. Now he's got demyelination, and demyelination is one of those conditions that's listed in the document that the FDA had to release under court order recently, 1,291 adverse injuries that Pfizer knew of, and they listed them in a 9-page single-spaced document from the COVID shot itself. And demyelination is one. Well, demyelination is like if you look at an electrical cord that's covered with a plastic or a rubber, you melt off that plastic, that outer coating, and you just see the cord. That's essentially demyelination with regards to your nervous system. It sloughs out the outer protection of your nerves and the protection around your brain. So you have short circuits, if you will, for lack of a better scientific explanation. That's kind of the visual of it. That's what happens. And so that's what it is. It's a progressive condition. It's a dangerous condition, and it could be a deadly condition. So he's now, this month, leaving the military. He's not going to make it to year 40 because of this condition. And he's just one of many. And, in fact, Dr. Teresa Long, a lieutenant colonel also in the Army, who has a specialty in epidemiology and also in the government's defense medical epidemiology database, which includes all of the medical treatment of all the military members, she said that people are dying. Lots of pilots that she works with, because she is a flight surgeon. She works with not just pilots but others, but she says these young pilots that otherwise are healthy, they're getting myocarditis. They're getting the swelling of the heart. They're getting the inflammation of the heart, and that is a deadly condition. And it could be a deadly condition. Certainly could be a debilitating and life-ending condition as well.
You know, Matt, one other thing about VAERS, and I know we've got more to discuss, but I believe VAERS was started around 1990, in which they started tracking these. So from 1990 to the present, it's just been over 2.1 million adverse effects. I mean, that's all vaccinations all together. But when you look at just what happened in the last couple of years with COVID, what, less than 2 years now for the shot, they're over, it is now at 50, just shy of 59% of all the adverse effects for vaccines since 1990, 59% are due to the COVID shot.
Yeah, that's startling, startling. Under any other circumstances, without the political inertia behind this and the censorship, this would have been stopped a long time.
Yes.
If you go back to the 70s with the swine flu, how many deaths did it take before they stopped it and said this was a failed experiment? They rushed it to market just like this. They did the propaganda at a lesser volume, but the same kind of thing where they were pushing the swine flu shot. It took 50 deaths, between 32 to 50 deaths, and they stopped it. Well, now you've got tens of thousands of recorded deaths, and the numbers are really much, much higher than that.
Mm-hmm.
And when you just look at the chart, when you go to that VAERS chart and you look at, there's a graph starting from June 1990 up until 2021, it's just a straight line at the bottom of the page. And that's all vaccines every year in terms of the adverse events. Then you get to 2021, and it just, like, shoots straight up, and it stays there. That alone is startling. Under any circumstance, media reporting on this, media doing personal interviews with people like Dr. Chambers or others, this would be over and done with, but you have this incredible censorship that's happening from the government.
Mm-hmm. Truly amazing. Matt, last week then you got a favorable ruling for a single cadet, but I believe you're actually seeking class action status now?
Yeah, that's right. Class action would be for all the men and women in the military, particularly those that have filed these religious exemption requests. We know that there's a minimum of 24,000, and that number is higher than that. But we know that. Well, we can't litigate 24,000 people
mm-hmm.
for each one of these. We've been going to court back to back. It's impossible. That's why you have class certification. You have these large numbers of people, and they have commonality with regards to the law. And what we have here is commonality with regards to the facts and law. So we're asking the judge to extend our protections that we're getting for these individuals to members of the class of all six branches of the military, which will include the Space Force as the sixth branch. And the judge is open to that. We've been urging him to do that. We've had multiple discussions in court about it. So, you know, as the people who are here so faithfully, Jim, prayed for this Shurtleff case and got answered,
yes.
Please pray for Judge Stephen Merriday. He's been a good judge, but pray that he actually goes to the next level, certifies the class, and gives the injunction relief or the court-ordered relief to the entire class of every man and woman in the military across the globe in all six branches of the military.
Do you believe, Matt, that there is a deliberate purging going on of our military?
I do, and in fact, I actually said something to the judge this past time, but I've also said it publicly as well. When you look at the shots, you have to ask yourself, why are they doing this? Why is the military still insisting on it? They're not safe. We know, for example, the military has its own study that it published in the Journal of American Medical Association Cardiology Journal in June of 2021 that said that the risk of these shots was increasing myocarditis and pericarditis, particularly in men in the military. So we know that. They know it. They know the same data that we know, or they should know. Certainly some people know that. They know it's not safe. They know that people are getting injured. They also know that it's not effective. I mean, we had 100% people vaccinated on the one of the Navy ships last year. A third of them came down with COVID. Mm-hmm. They know that. We've seen the charts that they've actually indicated how it's not effective, even within the military. They know that. They know that they're working with a generally a younger and a healthier population than the general civilian population. So they're at less risk. So they know they're not safe. They know they're not effective. They also have backed down, like the Marines, for example. They've backed down on the masking, so has the Army. They don't have to mask anymore. The Marines have come up and said that if you're COVID positive, you can sleep in the same barracks as somebody who's not COVID positive. So they're not isolating them or quarantining them anymore. All the mask mandates around the country have been lifted by the states. There may be some pockets of different local governments. So you see this trend happening. Why are they still doing this? Why? Especially at this time. Well, if you go back to March of 2021, I think I know why. when Biden nominated Lloyd Austin as the Secretary of Defense, Austin stated that he wanted to purge the military. He was referring to January 6th. But he's not just limiting it to people that were like involved or maybe supportive of January 6th, whatever that may mean. But he's referring to people who, again, they don't agree with. Christians, Christian viewpoints, people who love God, love the country, Second Amendment, military people. They've actually said that during Barack Obama's term, that they were looking at veterans as domestic threats our security. So that's what they're doing. They're purging the military of the best. They're able to isolate who are the religious faithful, who is going to stick by their Christian and religious convictions and principles, and then they're going to punish them and literally wipe them out. Wipe them out no matter how many years' experience they have, and then also wipe them out of the academies so that they never even get an opportunity to enter the military.
Matt Staver with us. Our phone number to Crosstalk is 800-733-9829. That's 1-800-733-9829. Our number today for Crosstalk. And friends, none of these cases come cheap as far as Liberty Counsel's representation, the court filings, the thousands of hours that go into research and developing cases and proofing and redrafting and so forth. Certainly, you can connect with them, lc.org, lc.org. Their phone number, 407-875-1776. But today we're taking your calls for Matt Staver from Liberty Counsel. Again, our number here to Crosstalk, 800-733-9829. Let's begin with Charlie in Lodi, Wisconsin. Charlie, you're on the air.
Yes, sir. Thank you for your show and your guest. I'm a combat veteran Marine.
Thank you.
And correct me if I'm wrong, but maybe SEAL Team 6 was exposed and shot down. I remember some Navy SEALs found behind Connex boxes in Long Beach, California, with needles in their arms, and they died of heroin overdoses. Okay.
Charlie, can I have you address our topic here today?
Well, yeah, they are eliminating our military.
Okay.
That's quite obvious. And I know a lot of these vets are on psychotropic drugs that actually lead to suicide. And when you get rid of career military men with combat experience that are very savvy, and I was under one, that's why I'm alive today, our country is in great peril. Thank you for the show.
Thank you, Charlie, for listening and for your service. Matt, your comment.
Well, I think you're right. Unfortunately, this is a purge. And, I mean, obviously, I'm not making up the word purge. This is coming from Lloyd Austin. And, in fact, when some of the media reported on it in 2021, they supported all that, some of the liberal media. They said, you know, people that were Trump supporters in all the branches, not just the military, they need to be purged as well. But they said, you know what, he was short on details as to how he was going to do it. Now I think we know how he's doing it in the military.
Friends, we're going to take a quick break. Matt Staver with us from Liberty Counsel. Lines are packed right now. We'll get as many calls in as we can in this final segment, so stay with us. This is Crosstalk on the VCY American Network.
Worldview Report, I'm Brandon House. Our website is worldviewreport.com. On my radio show the other day, I played the audio clip of a news report from Channel 2 in Atlanta, Georgia. It was a news report from 2010, and I stress it was from 2010. And what were they reporting on? The individuals tied to terrorist organizations and terror states coming over the border of the United States, coming from countries like Yemen, Iraq, Sudan, Pakistan. My friends, there are overwhelming reports of Iranian terrorist and Hezbollah individuals coming to America. One way through Venezuela. Venezuela is in a massive alliance with China and Russia. My friends, the terror cells are here. Thousands of terror cells are here in the United States. What I'm telling you is not to scare you, but to warn you, the enemies, foreign and domestic, that are here.
This is Crosstalk on VCY America. Matt Staver with us from Liberty Council. Again, their website, lc.org. And we're going right back to the phone lines here today on the broadcast. Calling next from Sussex, Wisconsin. Joseph, you're on the air.
Hello, gentlemen. Thank you for your work. In my conversations, I try to avoid hyperbole and exaggeration. And so as a reasonable person, taking in all this information and so much more, can I come to any other rational conclusion that my government is actively trying to injure me?
Yeah. Unfortunately, you know, somebody might say, well, that's just really hyperbole. Based upon what I know, I don't think that that's hyperbole, unfortunately, because it's pretty obvious what's happening. We know, for example, that these shots are injuring people. We also know not only injuring but killing people, but we also know that they're having other kinds of effects, such as, you know, the study by Pfizer that was published originally in Japanese, but it was a Pfizer study. They said, well, you know, these mRNA shots, they don't stay there in the arm where it's injected. It goes throughout the whole body, and we know that mechanism now because of the nanolipid particle. That's the encapsulation that covers the mRNA so that it transmits to your body, bypasses your natural innate immune system. And where does it heavily congregate? Well, in part, for women, it's in the ovaries. Well, that is very serious. That's a very serious situation for not only miscarriages, but also for fertility. So I think it's actually reducing population not only now, but I think the consequences are staggering in terms of what does this mean for future generations.
Yeah. Thank you, Joseph. We have a caller from Maryland. You're on the air.
Hi, good afternoon, gentlemen. I just wanted to make a comment that my husband is one that took that, and he's in the military. He's a very prominent position in the military, and did not disclose it to me, which was a little disappointing. But I kind of wish he hadn't, but he said that I can't do my job if I don't take this, and I felt like he had no recourse. Mm-hmm. And because of his prominent position and what he does, it was forced upon him. I mean, there's no major side effects, but I believe that it will have side effects down the road. It's not without risks.
I'm sorry that your husband had to go through this, and I'm sorry that he's going through this, but you're right. I mean, we are dealing with so many situations like that, and it's really heartbreaking. And I don't mean that as just a throwing out language. I'm talking about heartbreaking. Our hearts break. We've cried. I've cried. With regards to what we're hearing from these people, because these are the men and women who literally put their lives on the line. I mean, yes. It's one thing for us to write a letter to our member of Congress or to go out and hold up a sign somewhere. These people, like your husband, they put it all on the line. They're willing to take a bullet, a bomb. You know, they're out there for our freedom. If it weren't for them, we wouldn't have our freedom.
The negative thing is if something would have happened to them, I would have never known about it because it wasn't discussed. And
no, I know.
Then I would have lost my husband, and my 8 children would have lost their father.
Thank you
for your service. You're all are going to be in our prayers, and if you need anybody to talk to, just call us at our Liberty Council number. We'll give it at the end of the program.
James is next in Michigan. You're on the air, James.
Thank you. Another factor that's playing into this that weighs heavy on my heart, but I'm not suicidal, as a former veteran, and I see it in the present military, they defended the borders of other countries, and now they're prevented from defending their own border.
Yeah.
And my instinct is to take a rifle and go to the border, and it could be stopped in less than a week, the whole invasion. And another thing that really is playing hard on these soldiers is they're asked to think so little of themselves that they'll play Russian roulette with a vaccine.
Yeah, and really I think that is a good way to explain it. It is Russian roulette. You know, you may dodge one, but it's going to hurt others. And then we just don't know the long-term effects. We do know, we're starting to see some of the midterm effects of it, though, but we don't know what happens after a year, 2 years, what happens to the next generation. You know, it was DES that women were taken, and it didn't affect that generation as much as it affected their children. It took 40 years for us to wake up and say, stop it, because you're injuring future generations.
Thank you, James, for the call here. Jim is next in Fond du Lac, Wisconsin. Jim, you're on the air.
This with the shots and stuff. Am I the only one that thinks this way, or is this possibly part of the globalist population reduction plan? It seems like the guys that are heading up a lot of this stuff are all saying, you know, we ought to reduce the world's population to save the planet, et cetera.
Well, I think that goes back to an earlier caller, you know, is the government trying to hurt you? I think, you know, the fact is that there are people that have some very nefarious agendas, and that would be depopulation, Bill Gates, you know, the World Economic Forum, Klaus Schwab. And part of that is they want to reduce human population to reduce CO2 emissions. So they don't have a sanctity of human life ethic. So it's not a big problem for them if they see collateral damage in the form of human casualties. For them, that's their objective. And Gates says it right out. Mm-hmm. He wants to reduce human population, global population, by 10 to 15%. That's about a billion people. That's about, 10 to 15%. There's like almost 8 billion people on the planet. So you do the math, 10 to 15% of that. I think he actually wants to reduce it more. But he actually wants to reduce hundreds and hundreds of millions of people on the planet. So, you know, all these people that are pushing it, they have that same Darwinian social construct as well to reduce human population. For them, it's just human casualty that's acceptable. It's not acceptable. And, you know, for them, it's achieved an objective to depopulate the planet.
Yeah. Thank you for the call here, Jim. And Matt, and we've had played the clips here on Crosstalk. I mean, the Bill Gates talking about how we can save lives with vaccination and reduce the population. And that's exactly when we see these, you know, attack the reproductive organs and so forth. That's exactly that goal is being accomplished through the shot.
Absolutely. I mean, we're already seeing, you know, miscarriages at high numbers. Mm-hmm. Pfizer recognized that. We not only see, you know, miscarriages, but we also see, you know, issues regarding fertility. We've seen it in the military, for example. In fact, the DMED database shows not only miscarriages, but problems with babies that are born. We know that it can be transmitted, the mRNA, all that information can be transmitted through breastfeeding as well. So there is a real serious problem, not only with current lives, but future lives.
Matt Staber with us. Again, folks, the website, lc.org. Their phone number, 407-875-1776. Matt, thanks for being with us today.
Thank you, Jim. Good to be with you.
And, folks, thanks for joining us today on Crosstalk.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the Internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Tape Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208, or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.